Well, here we are on the Sunday of Peace. And so we read in Isaiah about lions and lambs eating grass together, whatever that looks like. It's always been an interesting picture for me. Of course, it instantly pops up parts of Messiah, which I always hear at this time of year in my head as we do our various readings. And that's certainly peaceful. But as I was looking at all of our texts, the one, of course, I came back to all the time is John the Baptist. And there's an interesting call to peace, isn't it? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? John the Baptist is hardly a diplomat. He wasn't called to be a diplomat, so it's not like he was somehow not doing what he was supposed to. There was never any sense that John was going to come and somehow convince people through the splendor of his words to move into this relationship. He was there to create a particular frame of reference for people. And by the way, this is not this does not give us license to be undiplomatic. John the Baptist was given a particular call, and if you were given the same call, you should go right ahead. But nobody has since him, and I'd be awfully surprised if one of us is suddenly going to be called such a thing. So why would we read this text on this Sunday, the Sunday of Peace? Because it's not peaceful. There's no real word for that that is going to lead us in the direction of peacefulness. I mean, this is inflammatory language, and there's a place for that, as we all know, and there's obviously a place here. So how does this fit in? Well, what it fits into is that it's the beginning, if you will, the inauguration of Jesus' ministry starts right around here, and it's the beginning of a call to peace. There's a real peace, rather than a manufactured human one. Because really, what is peace? Is peace simply the absence of lethal conflict? That's certainly one perfectly acceptable definition of peace. We are at peace with every other country in the world. There's no country, there's no geopolitical unit that is trying to shoot us, and we aren't trying to shoot it. So we are at peace. But I think there's room for more nuance, for a broader description of peace than simply not being at armed conflict with someone. In fact, I think there's even room for a larger peace than one where we're not in unarmed conflict with people. My brothers and I never took up arms against each other, but to say that we were at peace all the time would be a gross overstatement. We were in conflict with each other off and on, not all the time, no matter what it might have seemed like from the outside, but we were certainly in conflict with each other, with other parts of peace, and actually mostly at peace with each other. Sometimes a wary kind of peace, but still peace nonetheless. And so that's certainly a broader description of peace, but is that enough either? If you're at peace with someone, but you're always looking at them out of the corner of your eye to see what they're going to do next, okay, I guess technically you're at peace with them, but are you at peace? Are you at peace with yourself? Because that's what John came to begin. We're not entirely sure, like we don't know all the nuances of why Jesus needed to be baptized, why his cousin came looking in this peculiar way and bringing this message of repentance through the baptism of water. We're not entirely sure why that needed to be there first, but it was. And it was the beginning of the process of Jesus coming to bring a true and total peace to us. So, is that a call to peace? Well, I don't know that it's a call to peace as much as it's the beginning of the process of letting people know that things had changed. Because who did John call a brood of vipers? It wasn't the beggars. It wasn't the Gentiles. It wasn't people who had no understanding of who God was. It was to Pharisees and Sadducees. Sadducees being the political leaders with strong religious overtones, but nonetheless the political elite, and the Pharisees, the religious elite. And John came and said, you are a brood of vipers. You don't get it. And you need to start paying attention. And this is how you break in. There are times, as we all have, there are times you need to use extravagant language or something to get people's attention. After years and years of just regular communication with each other, especially if we've been married for a long time or we've been in a relationship with our friends for a long time, we sort of get to the point where we know what each other's going to say, so why do you even bother talking? There was a family counselor who was approached by a woman who said when her son came home, she'd ask him how he did at school. He'd say fine and go to his room. Said, you know, I've tried asking him in different ways, you know, but how do I break in? He said, well, stop doing what you always do. Because this is just part of the backdrop of your son's life. He doesn't think about it at all. You need to get his attention a little bit more. So the next day when he came home, instead of saying, how was your day, she knocked a bunch of pots off the counter onto the floor and got his attention. And as he helped her pick up these pots and asked her what was going on, said, well, I just thought we'd change things up a bit. So my day wasn't bad. How was yours? And they had a conversation about his day that they'd never really had before, because she broke in a different way. And that's part of what John is doing here. He's breaking into the religious conversation saying, this is how we think things work, but we're probably not right. And in fact, you people who are telling us how these things work are part of the problem. Because until we start identifying some of the problems, it's really difficult to solve them. Until we start admitting that we have a problem. I mean, that's the source of the power of every recovery group or every recovery mechanism in the world. You don't fix a problem until you admit you have one. And until you know that you don't have peace, how do you start working towards it? And where do you find it? Peace is in short supply around the world. Peace is in short supply in my own house, my own brain some days. Especially now. The last couple of weeks, Heather and I have been going, well, last month, Heather and I, who's here, by the way, not just to keep an eye on me, but she came along today. She will keep an eye on me because that's what she does, among many other things. We've come to the conclusion that really our house is simply too small. And that's just all there is to it. And so we've been looking in various places, and we've been doing lots of different things, and we've been following along, and God seems to have made it clear that we're not wrong saying our house is too small. And with a toddler, it's getting smaller every day. Eli is not, he's not more vigorous than your average toddler, but he certainly isn't any less. And so as we've been going through this process and we've looked in various directions, we just had a meeting yesterday with someone who we were hoping we'd be in a position to move into a new place. And the answer was simply no. You just don't make enough money, you don't have enough down payment, so no, we just can't help. And we've got opportunities there. We have opportunities to rail against someone's foolish decision on our behalf. It's probably not a foolish decision. We've got opportunities to rail against our own lack of good decisions in the past. Fairly soon, it's going to be the longest time that Heather and I have both been employed full-time in our married lives, because we thought it was really important that our kids have a full-time stay-at-home parent, or at least a mostly full-time stay-at-home parent when they were growing up. And so we made some decisions there that are bearing fruit now that we wish they didn't. And it's very easy for me to not be at peace. It's very easy for me to just say, well, what's going on here? We did these things that we thought we were following God, and here we are in this position. We have this house that's too small, and we think we can do it. And somebody says, no, go ahead, go get a bigger down payment, and we'll talk. Get a better job, and we'll talk. Whatever it might be, those things. And I have a choice here. And it's the same choice that John the Baptist began the process of, in calling people to peace, in saying you can live your life on the basis of what you can see and touch, on what's in front of us, the corporeal world, which is what the Sadducees were definitely doing, and what the Pharisees tended to do by saying that we can sum up every action you need to do to be approved by God. John said, no, something different's coming. something that is so far beyond me that I can't even tie his sandals. And what's coming, who's coming, is the Prince of Peace. And on this Sunday that we set aside to think about peace, the second Sunday of Advent, Peace Sunday, we have the same choices. We always have the same choice. Are we able to be at peace with ourselves and with God? Because you don't have to be unusually spiritually acute to look around and see that there's things not right about the world. There's conflict in many places that is the active armed kind of conflict, not just the disagreements you have with siblings. For many of us, there's areas of tension in our own families. There's all kinds of things that can rob us of our peace. It's hard for me to say that I'm at peace today because I'm not. I'm working on it. I'm trying. I'm trying to say, what does this mean for us when we've come to this conclusion, we've had it. You know, we've talked to other people. We don't make decisions entirely in a vacuum, just the two of us. We've talked to other people, and they said, yeah, your house probably is too small. You should look at another house. Yeah, you should do this thing, and you should do this other thing. And we move in this direction that doesn't go where we think it should. It is so tempting to say, okay, let's go back to the law. What haven't I done? What do I need to do of all those hundreds of commands in the Old Testament? But John said, no, that's not the direction to go. And as we move our way through Advent and then into Christmas and then, well, into all of the church year, what we see over and over and over again is that peace comes from an authentic relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not at peace with God, we can't be at peace with anything else. We can be in non-active conflict. We can have no conflict at all. But are we at peace? Are we settled in who we are? Well, if we're not, then what kind of peace is that? That's the peace that peacekeepers provide by just pushing people too far away to see each other. And that's better than people shooting each other. But it's not really peace. John the Baptist's call to peace was something that came to say, look, you need to rethink how you interact with God. And it was really obvious back then, perhaps, but we still at least need to open up the possibility that we need to rethink how we connect and how we interact with God. Do we look at God solely as the imprature of our political, our social responsibilities and whether we're an elite or not? Do we look at it from that perspective? We say, well, I go to church, therefore I am better than those other people who don't. And I should be able to make decisions in this committee or whatever because I go to church? Do we look down at everybody else and say, well, I know what the Bible says, so I've got... Well, of course we don't. But are we closer to that than perhaps we'd like? John got everyone's attention by dressing in a weird way, and by speaking back to power in a way that was really quite extravagant, even extraordinary. But he did it not just to cause a ruckus, but to shake up people's thinking so that when Jesus came saying, this is how it works, this is how you can become at peace with God, at peace with yourself and with each other. People were prepared to listen. Advent is a time of preparation. A preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus. A time of preparation for us as well. Are you at peace? It's a question only you can answer. I can tell you that I am more at peace now than I was yesterday. I don't know very many people who enjoy getting news they didn't want. I'm certainly not one of them. But I'm more at peace today. Because I've been reminded again, through conversation and through this text, that real peace isn't just when everything goes my way. But real peace is being reminded again that I have a relationship with God who loves me, through Jesus Christ who loves me, in the power of the Holy Spirit who loves me. And I can be at peace with God. And when I'm at peace with God, I can be at peace with you and with me. So it might not be the call to peace that we'd expect to see in the UN or from one diplomat to another. But without John's extravagant language to begin that process where Jesus could come and do what only Jesus could do, well, we wouldn't have Jesus either. So it is a call to peace. And on this Sunday of peace, let's all take those moments we need to review where we are, where we'd like to be, and to be honest with ourselves. Be honest with God, and then pursue peace. Amen.